Good morning. Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate all of you for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, November 13th, 2016. I'm Scott Lohman. Today, August Berkshire and Chris Schneider will talk about how the 26th election will affect issues important to atheists and humanists. Please stay tuned to the American Atheist Viewpoint in the fourth segment of the hour. We welcome listener interaction during the live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or your email to radio@mnatheist.org. The election of 2016 is over, and we're looking at how this will affect issues important to the freethought community. August Berkshire is a longtime activist with Minnesota Atheists, and Chris Schneider is a retrainer with the Clergy Project. You can find links and program archives in the Minnesota Atheists website. August and Chris, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Oh, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, Chris, to the show.
Appreciate it.
I'd like to start with a disclaimer. Minnesota Atheists and the Humanists of Minnesota are nonprofit organizations. As such, we do not support or oppose political candidates or parties. However, we do support policies such as separation of church and state, teaching evolution and opposing creationism, recognizing and dealing with global warming, and support for human rights for everyone, especially those who have historically been denied them, such as women, people of color, and the LGBT community. On all these issues, support tends to be greater from a Democratic candidate and their party than from a Republican candidate and their party. However, support can vary depending on the candidate and the issue, and there are issues other than these that people factor into their voting. On this show, when we talk about Clinton and the Democrats and Trump and the Republicans, we are not saying that you should or should not have voted for either of them. We're using them as a rough shorthand for secular versus theocratic tendencies. In our show today, we're going to look at demographics and issues and see how they apply to the atheist humanist community and the issues that most of us in that community care about. So first, I'd like to talk about demographics. In general, less religious states, like those on the West Coast and the Northeast, tend to vote Democratic, and more religious states, like those in the South, tend to vote Republican. Using a measure of religiosity developed by the Pew Research Center, and by the way, we'll have show notes with links to all these sources that we're citing, New York Times, Pew Research Center, if you want to look these statistics up yourself. So using a measure of religiosity developed by the Pew Research Center, Clinton won 15 of the 18 states that are the least religious, and Trump won 16 of the 17 states that are the most religious. And in case you're wondering, Minnesota is tied with California, Nevada, and Rhode Island as the 14th least religious state in the nation. In this election, Trump won 52% of the Catholic vote and 58% of the people identifying as Protestant or other Christian. In contrast, Clinton won 71% of the Jewish vote, many of whom are secular Jews, 62% of the people who had a religion other than Christianity or Judaism, and 68% of the people who have no religion, many of whom are atheists. Of the people who identified as white evangelical Christian or white born-again Christian, 81% voted for Trump.
Wow.
And
I mean, not wow, but...
Yeah.
And not surprising, unfortunately.
So we can see religion and race played a huge part in this election as in many elections. So of the white evangelical born-again Christians, 81% voted for Trump and only 16% voted for Clinton. And we heard that there's some turmoil in the minds of evangelicals this election, who to vote for, Trump or Clinton. Well, especially the white evangelicals went overwhelmingly for Trump. I don't see that there was a lot of teeth gnashing there or, trouble deciding. Now, in contrast, people who say they never attend a religious service, 62% voted for Clinton and 31% voted for Trump. Okay. Now, looking at the future, in the last seven elections, Clinton, Bush, Bush, Obama, and Trump, the Republican candidate has only won the national popular vote once. Not at all that. So there's perhaps a trend there. And I think that there are demographic reasons that the Republican Party is going to have to be, is going to have more trouble winning elections in the future if they don't make some major changes. today's young people vote heavily Democratic, and they may become more economically conservative as they grow older, but I don't think they're going to become more conservative socially. It's hard to imagine a young person today who supports marriage equality changing their mind about that in the future, or abortion rights, or Black Lives Matter, or a number of social issues. If you're liberal now in the social issues, I'm guessing you're probably going to stay liberal as you get older on those. And I can see economically you might, you know, become more, a little more conservative when you understand how, you know, cash flows and economies work. So yeah,
that has definitely been my experience. I was a bit of a bleeding heart liberal when I was in college, and I can tell you the moment where that turned around fiscally for me was starting my own business. I think everyone should start their own business. You would be surprised what that does to your preconceived notions of what should or shouldn't happen when it comes to taxation, when it comes to tax exemption, when it comes to write-offs, when it comes to how much of this is really important. Am I going to vote for someone who's going to give my small business a boost? You don't really get a lot of direction in that realm because both parties claim monopoly on being in favor of a small business. So you're somewhat left to your own devices and to vote with your conscience, not your pocketbook. Yeah. And that has been my experience.
Anyway. And I had a similar experience. I was a landlord. I inherited a small rental property. Mm-hmm. And the hoops that I had to jump through and regulations I had to jump through, some were reasonable, but some were not. Owning property in the city of Minneapolis, where you basically have to get a permit to sneeze. So, I mean, I jokingly said that, you know, this is not almost on, if I had voted on that issue alone, I might have voted Republican. But there are things of greater concern to me than a few bucks made as a landlord. So,
right. No, that's fair. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. This is great.
Yeah, it just adds to the perspectives and how complex this is, too.
Exactly. As I said at the beginning, you can vote on issues of importance to atheists and humanists, but then there are these other issues that you're going to factor in, economics, for example, taxation, things like that, foreign policy, which might have nothing to do with state-church mm-hmm. separation. Okay, so yeah, young people today are heavily Democratic, as they almost always are in any generation. They're very liberal. But that's something the Republican Party is going to have to take note of. Mm. The percentage of minorities is increasing, and they vote heavily Democratic. And the Republican Party did an autopsy after the 2012 election, mm-hmm. after Romney lost. And they said, you know, we're going to have to do more to appeal to minority voters. We can't be perceived as being anti-minority because minorities are increasing as a percentage of the population. And whether they succeeded this time or not, based on some of the things that Donald Trump said, is questionable. But that is something that they're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that they do. I mean, we hope that every presidential candidate is inclusive of all the people of America, regardless of skin color. Okay. Democrats tend to win large cities, and Republicans tend to win rural areas. And as a country, the trend is towards city living, not living in the country. So that's a trend that would favor Democrats unless Republicans do something to appeal more to the city dwellers. And I think that's because when you're out in this country, you probably only know people who think like you. And if anyone doesn't think like you, they don't speak up.
Fewer challenges.
Yeah.
There's fewer challenges to what you think, yeah. what you meet, yeah. who you talk to.
And you come into the city and you meet people of all kinds of point of view and you realize that they're good people. I live in Minneapolis in an area called Cedar Riverside. Now, that has a huge Muslim community.
It's one of the largest Somali populations in the state,
yeah,
if not in the country,
right.
in that area.
Right, and they're Somali, and they're largely Muslim. And as much as I disagree with the Muslim religion, as I disagree with all religions, These are wonderful people. They're wonderful citizens. They're civically engaged. They care about their communities. They're proud Americans. And so if I had any preconceived anti-Muslim notions against the people who are Muslim, these would be dispelled by my real-life contact mm-hmm. with them as wonderful people. So when you're in a city, you're meeting gays, you're meeting people of other religions, you're meeting people of other races, and I think this tends to make you more tolerant.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town, and I can totally understand that. When we looked at the statistics on my hometown, they voted 60% Trump on that, which is typical for a small farming community. It's going to go that type of direction in their demographics.
And in fact, if you grow up being told that atheists are evil, well, guess what? You can come to the big city and you might meet some atheists. And we're not quite as evil yeah. as people think we are.
Or acknowledge that they've been there the whole time and you've been peeing next to a transgender person this entire time and it wasn't a problem. Or you meet someone that might even have the willingness to talk about the things that they do or don't believe. Again, the challenges, lack of any challenges in the rural areas. Yeah.
And my part of town just elected the first Somali-American to a state legislature, Ilhan Omar, who was a Democrat, and we just elected her.
Yep, and that made national news, right both on. In the primary and in the general election. So, as you can hear the music, we are coming up on our first break, so please stay with us for the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to my Wall of Power radio hour featuring music, culture, and entertainment and cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday night from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Someday, the high and the mighty will fall. There will be no power brokers. The Wall of Power will fall.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Scott Lohman. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email to radio@mnatheist.org. August Berkshire and Chris Schneider, welcome back to Atheist Talk.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Well, we were talking about changing demographics and how they might affect the Republican Party. We talked about living in cities versus living in rural areas and how when you live in a city, you meet lots of other people, and it might hopefully tend to make you more tolerant of other people and break down some negative stereotypes that you might have. Continuing along looking at demographics that might affect the political parties, Christians as a percentage of the population are decreasing, and they tend to vote Republican. So if Republicans want to continue to succeed, they're going to have to appeal to more than Christians. People with no religion, the so-called nones, N-O-N-E-S, we're the fastest growing, quote, religious demographic. And we tend to vote heavily Democratic. Not all of us, of course, plenty of Republican atheists. But in general, people with no religions, as we said earlier, with some actual statistics, tend to vote heavily Democratic, and 36% of younger millennials identify as atheist, agnostic, or unaffiliated with any religion. So the young people are becoming very irreligious, and that's something that if a political party wants to succeed, they're going to have to appeal to us. They're going to have to tell us, no matter what the party is, they're going to have to tell us what their stance is on separation of state and church, on various issues like evolution, stem cell research, marriage equality, abortion rights, because these are things that are – and this is something that I think has gone under the radar, maybe because Muslims make up such a small percentage right now of the U.S. population. But Muslims are the second fastest growing religious demographic after atheists, and they vote heavily Democratic. And given this last election, you could understand why. They were demonized, all painted all with the same brush when Donald Trump said he was going to ban all Muslims, not just ones that were vetted and perceived as dangerous, as any dangerous person from any background should be kept out. But his initial talk was about banning all of them. And if I was a Muslim, that would, make me very afraid to be in this country. Mm. So they're the second fastest growing religious demographic in the U.S. And the Council on American Islamic Relations released a survey in mid-October, and they found that 72% of American Muslim voters plan to vote for Clinton and 4% plan to vote for Trump. So I guess there's a lot of undecided still at that point. But that's a huge disparity. Of course, there aren't enough Muslims right now to make a difference, but it is a demographic that's growing. So those are some changes that will affect the political parties. Now I want to talk a little bit about the religious views of some of the candidates and just religion in general. Clinton has came out as a Methodist, and I think people believe she sincerely did have a God belief.
Yeah, she was actually not just out. She was just that steadily throughout.
Didn't
waver, and also was just quiet about it. It's not one of those things that she, threw out in everybody's face like some religious activists do, or, sometimes we are atheists accused of being is in your face. But she was not that way. She was just steady doing that. And I believe I heard things that the Clintons attended church more often than the Reagans did, and they were always accused of being worse on religion than Reagan was.
And the difference that, and you brought it up, that it just simply wasn't part of that platform.
Yeah.
Period. And the opposition can never be accused of not having it be a part of their platform. That would be an incorrect statement.
No, it's interesting, her challenger in the primaries, Bernie Sanders, many of us speculated that he was an atheist. He is of a Jewish background, and he never said he was an atheist, but some of his answers sound certainly very humanistic.
Yeah, I would certainly classify him as a secular Jew on that, with still having that aspect, but not being in at the religious end of the Jewish spectrum.
And I have to say, I don't think that made a whole lot of difference.
Mm-mm.
No one brought it up as an issue. So that's progress, I think, in our country.
Agreed.
Now looking at the Republican side, Donald Trump claims some sort of religiosity. I don't think people viewed him as necessarily, certainly not tied to any particular organized religion.
He had to claim something.
Yeah.
He needed that vote. 81%, that's a big vote to not say, I am with you. That is a big vote to at least not give a hat tip towards it or a heavy nod. There was not a heavy nod given. There was a hammer blow of Mike Pence brought on the ticket.
Mm.
Just a hammer blow of it. And the idea behind we need to vote Democrat, we need to vote Republican. Speaking personally, and I'm not alone with people that I've talked to, I happily voted against a scientifically illiterate demagogue and a right-wing evangelical lunatic. That ticket represented everything that I wanted my public officials to never have, were those two things. Automatic disqualifiers for running for any political office as soon as we know that that becomes true. But to your point, was he an atheist? We don't know what this guy is. If you listen to the stuff that's coming out of his mouth now, we don't know what he is. But what I do know that he's a brilliant opportunist that needed to say anything that he needed to say to get the votes that he needed to get into office. Period. I don't think that Trump was aligning himself with the Republican Party. He was aligning himself with the first political party of Donald Trump, population one or two, with Mike Pence. And when he gets to that point and he gets those votes, perhaps there will be some serious issues with him not doing what he said he was going to do to placate to those people that he got 81% of that vote from. But he's not going to go after that vote because there was, to our point earlier about Hillary, that was simply not a part of her stance. And those that need to have a leader in this country and that leader has to have religion, specifically a form of Christianity, he needed that, period. And he needed to give a hat tip toward it. And he needed to make the hat tip toward it and make the separation between the two.
Yeah. I remember the big kerfuffle when he referred to 2 Corinthians as 2 Corinthians. And I'm like, you know, what's the big deal? But it kind of showed that he was biblically illiterate because people do say 2 Corinthians. And it's like he's reading a piece of paper and he sees the two. Sometimes it's a Roman numeral two, and then sometimes it's Arabic numeral two.
The literacy can go laterally.
But in the evangelical community, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal. Absolutely, it was a big deal. And need to ignore that because anything but Hillary, anything but Obama, anything but the legacy of a perceived Muslim already in the office. Is bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It will be analyzing this one for a long time.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Please stay with us for the break. You're listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
They have a car in the garage,
a chicken in the pot,
and a child on the way.
But is that enough to make true love stick? On tour from London, Single Shoe Productions presents Crazy Glue,
a comedy told through sound effects and a made-up language
that celebrates the mad, messy, sticky side of love.
Hi, I'm Bradley.
And I'm Philippa. Join us this weekend for our performances of Crazy Glue at the Southern Theater.
Tickets are available at southerntheater.org.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're standuprecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on earth. So please give generously. And remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's standuprecords.com.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 60. Tonight, clear with a low around 41. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 54. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high around 58. John Peterson is the third generation of his family to grow free-range turkeys at Ferndale Market. As farmers themselves, they're proud to partner with over 75 local food producers that share their values of good, clean food. Plus, reserve your Thanksgiving turkey today with Ferndale Market by visiting ferndalemarketonline.com.
Elections make big changes. 2016 will be causing a lot of big changes as we go forward. This will affect the free thought community in big ways. Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or email at radio@mnatheist.org. I'm Scott Lohman. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists, the Humanists of Minnesota, Cucumbers Restaurant, and others. If you'd like to advertise on this program, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of listeners. If you're able to make a donation, please consider doing so at our radio fund page. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. You can find more information on the Humanists of Minnesota at humanistsofmn.org. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. Check the schedule for book clubs, discussion group, pub crawls, movie nights, and other gatherings throughout the year, as well as sign up for meetups, listen to podcasts of previous programs, and subscribe to Atheist Weekly email and become a member, all at mnatheist.org. You can also join the Humanists of Minnesota at humanistsofmn.org. And now back to our final segment with August Berkshire and Chris Schneider.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, now let's turn to some specific issues.
Yeah.
So in this segment, we'll look at Trump and his appointees, Congress, and the Supreme Court, which many, with good reason, think is going to become more conservative. We'll see.
Potentially.
Yeah. First issue I want to talk about is overturning the Johnson Amendment. Now, what this is that if you're a nonprofit 501c3 tax-exempt organization, as almost every church is and as Minnesota Atheists is and the Humanists of Minnesota is, you can advocate for policies or causes, but you cannot promote or oppose candidates.
Specifically.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say you should vote for a candidate that supports evolution.
Yeah.
But you can't by name come out.
You can rattle off all 10 things that that person is running for, but you can't say that person.
Yeah. And it was so named by Lyndon Johnson because of problems in Texas.
And a lot of conservative religious organizations object to this. In fact, they openly defy it sometimes on something called the Freedom Sunday. Now, I'm wondering, they could overturn this legislatively because 501c3 is, it's a condition that attaches to 501c3 status, the not preaching or the non-supporting candidates. So they could change this in the legislature, and they might choose to do that. I don't view this as a Supreme Court issue.
Mm-mm.
Some people might think the Supreme Court would make it null and void, saying that it's on a free speech grounds, that, churches should be able to endorse or oppose whoever they want. But since it's particularly attached to the 501c3 status, I don't see the court stepping in. I don't see this as a constitutional issue because the court could say, well, just don't have the status. Then you can promote whoever you want.
Because it is part of the tax law is where it falls into.
Yeah. So I don't think the Supreme Court would touch this.
Because, well, let's talk about why the Johnson Amendment was brought forth in the first place. Set in 1954, I believe. What was going on at that time? Why were they making sure that that needed to happen? Is this going to be a money issue? Are we going to need that money back and forth? Whatever argument they're going to try to make to take it away, to not talk about the fact that they're already preaching politics in churches, to not acknowledge that and to not remove tax-exempt status from those who are already breaking that rule, breaking that precedent. We don't need to worry about it going away. We need to worry about the fact that it hasn't been enforced.
Exactly.
For decades.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know of any church that has lost its tax-exempt status.
I've scoured the internet.
For breaking the law and preaching. And, of course, if this were changed, then Minnesota Atheists and Humanists of Minnesota would be free to endorse candidates. Now, of course, at this point, that might be the kiss of death. But in the future, that endorsement might be something a candidate would want.
And we do actually have a caller. We have a Roger calling from St. Louis Park and wants to talk about atheism in the election. So go ahead, Roger. Welcome to Atheist Talk.
Hi. Couple things. I think that it's important to bifurcate a treatment of what we call Christians, because I think lumping them together as one monolithic group leaves out all of the progressives who also call themselves Christians. So I just throw that in. There's the evangelicals that tend to hold these right-wing stances and vote for Republicans, but they, as far as I can tell, certainly don't very well understand the notion of loving one's brother, and there are many much more progressive people who call themselves Christians as well. I just wanted to throw that comment in.
And that's a very good point. Thank you.
Here's an interesting thought. I can barely utter the word, but the person who whose machine appears to be claiming the presidency, that's just as far as I'll refer to it obliquely. I can't say President X. I don't believe it. as far as I can discern, the man is not religious. That's not to say that he's a professed atheist. He claims to be a Christian, but I don't believe that that man imagines any authority superior to himself.
Not himself.
Or any higher
Agreed.
Being. I'm quite sure that he fundamentally is an atheist.
It could be. I'm totally willing to watch that unpack itself as he goes through the next 4 years.
I strongly suspect that he's such an authoritarian that the last thing he would imagine
is a higher power.
Is any voice superior to him.
Okay, thanks for your call,
Thank
Roger.
You.
And I think you bring up a great point. There are a lot of liberal Christians.
Yep.
And I wonder what the demographic is on that. Is that we know that the people without religion is increasing.
Yep.
What is the demographic for liberal Christians? Is that increasing or decreasing? And that's certainly something that political parties are going to have to address.
Yeah, and they don't really break that out when they do a lot of the studies. You don't see that because they almost treat that as monolithic depending on that, because there are evangelicals who actually are liberals too. And so it's a tricky thing to measure when you're trying to put them on the Christian spectrum.
If you grant that, then are we entitled to say, well, who is representing the evangelical believers in Odin's vote?
Yeah.
Who is representing the evangelical believers in Vishnu's
yes.
vote? Or Thor?
Yeah.
Or pick one.
Yep,
so
exactly.
I understand, and Rod, sure, you bring up a good point, Roger, and to not to say that you don't want to group them all into one place as opposed to not grouping them into believers in parthenogenesis, in believers in breaking all the laws of physics by a body dying and rising 3 days later, that is going to get grouped. Like it or not, that's yeah. going to get grouped.
Okay. Real quick, abortion rights. Trump says he's going to appoint judges that would overturn Roe v. Wade and send it back to the states.
Mm-hmm.
And then some states will have abortion rights and some won't.
Yeah, there's already states with laws in place that if that happens, there's some nasty thing. That one's going to be tougher because there are states now with full laws in place, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, I mean, at most, the Supreme Court would send it back to the states, but mm-hmm. the problem is state lines. Mm-hmm. You're married in one state, not in another. There's federal benefits that go with marriage. Even a conservative Supreme Court, I don't see overturning marriage equality. It would just cause so much chaos.
Yep.
This country, I don't think it's going to happen.
There's this assumption that if whoever gets in is going to put in a judge that was going to lean one way or the other. In a perfect world, judges don't lean one way or
right.
the other.
Yeah.
Judges are appointed. They shouldn't have platforms that they need to run for. My father was district judge of North Dakota for 22 years. He was appointed by the lieutenant governor at the time, Art Link. He got that position, but he had to, quote, run to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't assume that judges are going to lean one way or the other, regardless of who puts them in there.
Sure. Yep.
Racism and racial justice. 53% of Clinton voters said they describe themselves as being a supporter of Black Lives Matter. 53% for Clinton. Only 6% of Trump supporters said they supported Black Lives Matter. So that's certainly the racial issues we have in this country are profound.
Yep. And they're not going away anytime soon.
Now let's go to science, and that's your expertise.
No, expertise. The only thing that science has given me is the ability to say I don't know with a straight face and be completely comfortable with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It's given us all the abilities.
Let's take one of the big ones, global warming.
Well, yeah. Climate change.
Climate change, global warming. Yeah.
Climate change, the climate's been changing for hundreds of thousands of millions of years with or without us pumping whatever we want to in the air.
Right.
So my problem with what I saw happening in this election was there was a clear scientific illiterate individual now looking to appoint people who, for example, Myron Adell, he's now the head. This is his first appointee, if I'm not mistaken. He's now the head of the EPA transition community. That putting a man who fundamentally disagrees with the facts that our climate is changing at the head of the EPA, I really want this president to succeed. I can't say that clear enough. To want him to fail is a totally irrational thought. But I'm watching him put the pieces in play that make my fears reality. I'm watching him do what I was afraid he was going to do right out of the gate. So if that's what he's willing to do, we only have so much. He's in office. He's going to appoint these people. That's just the way it goes. But at some point, do we get to have hope that rational thought and rational ability to understand the nature of the universe around us is going to unpack itself, whether there's a political agenda behind it or not? I don't know. But this guy's making terrible moves already in that regard.
And in other areas of science, for instance, sex education, I don't know that Trump said a whole lot about that.
I didn't hear anything that jumps to mind either.
Yeah, not mentioned on birth control issues either. So hopefully that's something he'll just ignore.
But that's implied, addressed in attempts to zap Obamacare.
That's true. Yeah, because that is a big part. Those are an important part of Obamacare.
So he'd probably just use that as carte blanche to say, I've already addressed that with his saying that he's going to get rid of Obamacare.
Yep, so we're at 30 seconds. Yeah. Quick conclusions there, guys.
Well, it's a changing country. I don't know. Like Chris, I hope my worst fears are not realized by this new president. I do hope he'll support separation of state and church, equality for all people, human rights for all people, and support good science. And yeah, that's
support good science.
Good science. Yeah,
they are free to their own opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts.
Exactly. So thank you, gentlemen, and this discussion will keep on going. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm Scott Lohman. The show depends on the generous support of our members, our supporters, and donors. Please join us again next Sunday. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at minimatheist.org. The podcast of the show will be on the radio page later today. Stay tuned for American Atheist Viewpoint. This has been Atheist Talk on KTMF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950. To hear about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. Coming up this week, top political expert Deborah Fitzpatrick from the Humphrey Center on Women in Public Policy at the U of M will examine the horrible election results through a gender lens. Listen every week to A Woman's Place, where all issues are women's issues. Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Podcast anytime at am950radio.com.
Hi, I'm Karen Olson-Johnson with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Laura Hedlund. Tune to us every Saturday at 8 a.m.
You know, we're going to talk all kinds of food stuff. It's such a thick issue, isn't it?
It's such a complicated, entangled issue because the way we eat is resulting in climate change, forest destruction, and dying oceans, along with profound environmental implications. But there's something you and I can do. We can talk about it and we can act on it. And that's what we're all about. Food Freedom Radio. Saturdays at 8 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words Click Here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint for Sunday, November 13th, 2016. I'm Nick Fish, the National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. We had an election on Tuesday, and in spite of polling, in spite of a lot of the predictions that were out there, Donald Trump has been elected the 45th president of the United States. I think that a lot of us, when we're looking at this, a lot of what Donald Trump has said over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years that this has been going on, you know, we're concerned about a lot of what has been said. Donald Trump has made it a cornerstone of his foreign policy that he would, initially he said he would ban Muslims from entering the United States. He's changed that to saying he would ban people from terrorist or states where terrorist action has been taken out. But a lot of the rhetoric from supporters of his have been concerning as well. All that having been said, it is also true that Donald Trump has come down on many sides of many issues. He has not consistently taken too many policy positions, even over the last, or even over the duration of his campaign, never mind looking back, you know, 2, 4, 10 years for the things that he has said he supports. So what we have to do now is try to figure out what a Donald Trump administration looks like and how it is that we can ensure that our constitutional rights are protected. And in cases where it's clear that the direction things are going is counter to what we want in terms of a secular government, in terms of church-state separation, in terms of protecting First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights, we have to be ready to vigorously fight, not just in legislative action, not just in proposing good legislation, but in the courts. There was a news story the other day indicating that the American Civil Liberties Union's website crashed because they weren't able to handle the influx of donations that they were getting. I want to read something here from Donald Trump's transition website, greatagain.gov, under the constitutional rights section. He says that he will defend Americans' fundamental rights to free speech, religious liberty, keeping and bearing arms, and all of their rights guaranteed to them in the Bill of Rights and other constitutional provisions. It goes on to say, the Constitution declares that as Americans we have the right to speak freely, share and live out our beliefs, raise and protect our families, and be free from undue government abuse, and participate in the public square. Some of this is very clearly a code word, a set of code words or a dog whistle for quote-unquote religious liberty groups, groups that think that, I'm talking specifically about participating in public square and living out our beliefs. The problem with that is that the government has never recognized an absolute right to live out your religious beliefs, that there are times when public policy does butt up against people's religious beliefs. You can look you don't have to look far. You can even look at Justice Scalia in Employment Division versus Smith, writing the opinion of the court that the government does not have to make accommodations for people when their religious beliefs, or excuse me, their religious practices run up against a legitimate government interest. This was the Supreme Court decision that prompted the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. A lot of what Donald Trump has said on this issue has, in some ways, we think, been a type of olive branch to religious conservatives, people who he's not, it's clear that he's not fully comfortable with, or that he's not, you know, one of the tribe, so to speak. So a lot of the questions here is not so much what Donald Trump's views are on these issues, but rather who is he going to appoint into positions of power in our government to oversee areas of public policy and areas of government responsibility that will impact this? Who is he going to appoint to the Supreme Court? We discussed who he was potentially going to pick for the Supreme Court on a previous episode of this podcast. And some of the people are very concerning. The people who he is considering for the Supreme Court are a list of judges put together by, and legal scholars put together by, the Heritage Foundation. Some of them have said that there is no right for LGBT people to get married, that religious freedom means that you don't have to obey the law if your religion conflicts with it, on issues of public accommodation, on issues of non-discrimination. Now we have our first look at the Donald Trump transition team, and that includes people like Ken Blackwell, who is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, which is a group that we don't see eye to eye with on most issues. He was also on the board of directors for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. The Beckett Fund is an organization that we and the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU and other groups on our side of interpretations of religious freedom, they are a group that we clash with quite frequently. He is a person who has said that, you know, the reality is that we make choices all the time. And I think you make good choices and you make bad choices in terms of lifestyle. Our expectation is that one's genetic makeup might make one more inclined to be an arsonist or might be more inclined to be a kleptomaniac. Do I think that can be managed? Yes. And in that case, he was talking about conversion therapy for LGBT people and saying that, we should be trying to suppress the fundamental nature of being a member of the LGBTQ community. Donald Trump's vice president, Mike Pence, has said previously that he supports defunding Planned Parenthood, that they would make that a primary goal of their administration. He is in support of shock treatment for LGBT people as a form of conversion therapy. The people surrounding Donald Trump are the people who are going to be making policy, just like that would be the case in almost any other administration. The people who are in those positions are the people who make a lot of these decisions. And so far what we've seen is concerning. We have to be ready to fight on these issues, and we have to figure out how exactly it is that we're going to do that. Right now, we all have a lot of work to do to look at what the next few months, and indeed what the next 4 years, are going to look like with a Donald Trump administration and with a Republican Senate and a Republican House, where judges more in the vein of Antonin Scalia are going to be appointed to the Supreme Court. That doesn't necessarily change the status quo of the Supreme Court's composition as it currently stands, but the question is what's going to happen in 2-4 years as other members of the court die or retire. So we have a lot to think about, and we have a lot of work to do. On that vein, that's all the time, unfortunately, that I have to talk to you today. Thank you, as always, for joining us. For more information about our work or to become a member, please visit www.atheists.org. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, we have a donor match going right now, where if you become a monthly sustaining member, your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar for the first year. You can learn more about that at atheists.org/monthly. You are always in control with your monthly donations, and if you ever need to change it, just let us know. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, and let's get to work.